Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello and welcome to the Red Van TV. It's the instant match reaction as Liverpool beat Southampton by 3 goals to nil. As Paul likes to say, it's our hot takes from the game. I'm joined by Ben Kelly. I don't know where Paul is. He's in Birmingham for some reason. What are you missing home games for, lads? Missed the belter there anyway. Ben, initial thoughts on that game, mate?
Very, very comfortable. Yeah, we've done the free-for-all and it was just very professional, very, very nice to watch. You know, so easy to relax through almost. And it's something we're getting used to, relaxing through games, especially this season so far. We're 7-for-7 now and it feels so good.
What did you make of the formation? I think, you know, I personally thought it was a 4-2-3-1 first half and I was a little bit surprised by that. But then as the first half goes on, I look at it and I'm thinking, well, Southampton are here playing a 4-5-1. They've thrown an extra body in the midfield. It looked like we tried to just sort of separate their lines a little bit, play two in front of them and a guy in Shaqiri behind. So the formation kind of made sense, although I was really surprised that we saw a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, I think it's something that we looked at towards the end of last season a couple of times and I did want to see more of it this season. It didn't look like it was going to happen, and then obviously today, Shaqiri is very good at that role. You know, during his time at Stoke, all the Stoke fans used to say that he was always so much better down the middle. And even though we've seen good glimpses of him out on the wing so far, I was always kind of secretly hoping that when he got a good run in the side, it would be in the middle. And I think now we've got the players in terms of squad depth to experiment with formation a little bit. You know, we've got a guy there who's clearly very good at playing down the middle, and we can now adapt as a team around him to accommodate those strengths that he has. And look, the more players that we have that we can bend around and do formations for, the better.
That's it. And then I was really impressed with him. I think I mentioned on my match reaction a couple of times, it was something that Tom noticed first, not me, but you know, it was Jordan Henderson screaming at Shaqiri to get back in. And I love the fact that Liverpool players are now comfortable enough in their own skin to shout at other players when they're not doing something right, because this is a team who've got something to protect. This is a team there at Anfield now who are steamrolling in teams for fun. And you know, it's great to see that even when you're 3-0 up, one midfielder's going to have a pop at another because he doesn't think they're pulling his weight. And too many times over the last 20, 30 years, we've seen sides that have just let the game go. And we've seen players let things slide on the pitch that you probably shouldn't be able to do. But in a defensive sense, it's difficult for me because I don't know what his role was in a defensive sense. So I'll judge him on the offensive side of the ball. Proper Americanism, that, isn't it? And yeah, the offensive side of the ball. But when he picked the ball up, he looked exciting. He looks to get you off your feet. And, you know, we were looking for those 1-2s. And Mo Salah played up top today in that number 9 role. And, you know, although, again, it's not a vintage Mo Salah performance, he could have had 2 goals. He could have had 3, 4, 5 maybe. One's offside, disallowed. One goal, he's just the quickest to react. And I think I actually watched the replay of that goal at half-time, Ben. He looks like he's about 5 yards off behind everybody else and still managed to get onto that free kick.
Yeah, he's alert. He's looking dangerous. I think what you touched on in one of the videos that we just filmed, you know, when he gets a couple of goals or when he has a goal that is more reminiscent of last season, he'll be bang at it, he'll be bang back in form. At the moment, he's just lacking a little bit of confidence, maybe. You know, there were moments today, particularly in the first half, that it's just not going in for him. There was one, obviously, in the first half where he backheels it and it goes just wide. It's just not happening for him. But then, obviously, he gets the goal, it bounces back, and he is very alert to that. I didn't really know what was happening at the time. Didn't know if it was going to be flagged offside or whatever, but it stood. You know, and he needs a couple more of them to fall for him. For him him to get the confidence built back up, and then he'll be back to how he was last season.
And I think the other thing is, well, it's easy to forget sometimes, you know, we scored so many goals from outside the area last season, didn't he? Those, that left foot when he bends it into the top bin or whatever, he's not getting those opportunities. It's not for a one to try, it's not for a one to getting into the right positions. People are just closing him down a lot faster, and it's not just one guy, it's one, two, three guys, because they know he's such a danger. And it feels to me like when he's got the ball at his feet, he's inches away from creating something special every time. But last season, it was coming natural, it was flowing, and everything just seemed to be working. I was really impressed with him in that nine today, and I wonder, Ben, why do you think Jürgen played him in the nine today?
I think it goes back to what I was saying before. I think obviously he knew he wanted to play Shaqiri, and it's all about, you know, how do I try and fit Shaqiri and other players into this formation. The way that he wants to do that is, you know, we've got a player there who's capable of playing in the nine, we've got a player there who's capable of playing on the right, on the left. So, you know, he's looking at versatile players and going, okay, I can put him in the nine. Maybe, again, lacking a little bit of confidence, maybe the best way to do that is to put him in a position where he's going to get a hatful of chances again, put him in the nine, and you know, maybe he'll pick up a goal, and that's exactly what happened.
It was strange for me to see Bobby Firmino line up on the left and Mane line up on the right. Hang on a minute, here comes the coach. I reckon they're on it. Let's pretend they are. Go ahead, lads, well in. Hey! They're not on it, like, but it's fine. We didn't know. It's better than throwing something at the coach, which has happened before, to be fair. Bobby Firmino lined up on that left-hand side, didn't he? And I thought it was a little bit strange. You know, it's not something that we've seen there, but it didn't make any odds. He looked comfortable on the ball again. He always seems to look comfortable. Mane, I was a little surprised to see line up on the right-hand side. How do you think it affected Mane's game today?
I thought Mane was still very positive. There seemed to be a little bit more on his side of, you know, passing. I felt like he was better with his pass selection this week. I don't know whether anybody else agrees with that. He was perhaps a little bit quieter than in recent weeks, but, you know, it was one of those games, really, really, you know, none of the front three were particularly on fire, and I think
you didn't have to be again.
Exactly, and that is the point. We're getting 3-0 wins there. You know, there was an article in the Echo over the summer that was criticising the fact that, you know, it was implying basically that we were relying a lot on the front three. We're not anymore. It feels like everybody's chipping in with goals, and that's so encouraging. You know, even Joel Matip today pops up with one. It's a great header, by the way. You know, and you don't expect that before the game, but now, you know, we're looking like a team who can score from anywhere, and that's scary.
That's our fourth goal, by my count, from a corner this season so far. I think Daniel Sturridge gets one against West Ham, doesn't he? Bobby Firmino gets one against Leicester. We get one from Wijnaldum from Tottenham, and then this one with Virgil van Dijk. Something's changed there. This isn't the normal Liverpool side. Yeah, sorry, what did I say? Van Dijk, sorry. Yeah, you know what I mean. Apologies, but thank you. And then Matip pops up with the fourth. And, you know, we're only a few games into the season. Last season, I barely remember us scoring from corners. And it feels like this is something that Liverpool are using to their advantage, because we don't have to play out of our skin. We don't have to create these, like, Arsenal-esque type goals to score anymore. We can just dominate. You know, the first goal comes from a corner. Shaqiri cuts inside after great work by Mane, you know, to then feed that ball in. Shaqiri, two deflections, and it's off Huijten into the goal. And then the second goal comes from a corner. That's brilliant for Liverpool. It's what we've needed since Scales scored 7 in 13-14.
And I wonder if it's whether having the presence of that Virgil van Dijk in the box, you know, because not only is he there, you know, when defending a corner, and he's there to get something away, but, you know, if you've got somebody who's fucking massive in the middle of your penalty area, everybody's going, Virgil, who's got Virgil? Everybody, just can we make sure somebody's got Virgil, please? And before you know it, Firmino's got space, and, you know, and today it's Matip who's got space, and, you know, and it just creates confusion and like a hecticness in the box when defending a corner. And, you know, that's exactly the type of thing that we brought Virgil van Dijk in for. Not only for his presence at the back, but, you know, he creates a demeanour in the box. You know, he's a scary bloke. He's a scary, scary bloke to look at.
He is for anybody that's not a Liverpool player. And, you know, again, we saw Liverpool with those in-swinging corners crunching the goalkeeper into that space, you know, three or four players around him. And there's just a little bit of snide about that I like, to be honest, because, again, Liverpool have been too nice for years. And going and putting a man on the keeper is something that teams do to us. Going and putting four men on a keeper is not something Liverpool do very often, but we've done it. We did it to Paris Saint-Germain midweek. Their keeper shit himself. He shit himself there tonight, and we're getting goals from them, so we've proved that it's working. The outswingers are a little bit different. There's no point in doing it on an outswinger, but it's nice to see Liverpool utilising some of these almost dark arts. What did you make of the midfield three then? I think, you know, we've talked a little bit about Shaqiri, Henderson and Wijnaldum. How did you think those two fit into the game?
I thought both of them were very good. I thought Henderson was really good, actually. I don't think he's been talked about enough so far in the match reaction stuff. I thought, you know, again, it's just that he never gives away the ball for me. Maybe once or twice, but today, you know, he's playing ambitious passes more often than not, and more often than not, he's making them. You know, there's a moment today in the first half where, not in terms of passing, but he knocks it round a defender, and you can see the engine that he's got on him because he goes and gets the ball at the touchline and wins a corner off it, and, you know, he gets a massive round of applause. And Henderson comes under so much criticism, and it's so unfair if you ask me. But today, I thought he was really good. Wijnaldum the same. You know, again, very busy. A lot of hard, dirty work done. That you know, that's the particular sort of thing that Wijnaldum loves to do. And I thought all three in the midfield. You know, and Milner when he came on, he was fantastic. He was so good. He's just that you. I've run out of words to say. He's just fantastic.
It's mad, isn't it? Because, you know, he's 32 years old. We talked about him midweek. We talked about him a lot on the podcast. We talked about him a lot on the Newsroom podcast that they did with Gibbo from The Wrap. And yet, I'm not bored of talking about him yet because he comes on and he comes on at half-time. He's warming up at half-time, actually. So we thought that it was going to be someone. Tom guessed that it would be Shaqiri, and he was right. And then you're thinking about it and you're like, okay, well, Liverpool have gone back into a 4-3-3 here. The forwards have gone the right way round again. Firmino's up top, Salah's on the right-hand side, Mane's on the left-hand side. And within 2 minutes, you're like, oh, wow, this is what we normally do. And we look dead comfortable passing the ball again in between the lines. Firmino looked even more dangerous when he goes into that nine. And then we're looking to get the 1-2s in. And we're so close to recreating the perfect goal on 3 or 4 occasions. We're just taking the piss, Ben.
Yep. We're taking the piss, Liverpool taking the piss. It's what we're doing now. And like I said at the top of the show, it's so nice to be used to winning games like that. You know, we've said it. It's been like that for Manchester City for a good few years now, where teams show up to places like City and Old Trafford in the past, and a 3-0 is a good result. To lose 3-0 because they've not come away, they've not been hammered, you know, and that's the status that we're getting this place to now. We're unbeaten at home for God knows how long, and teams are coming away. Southampton will come away today and they'll go, we didn't concede in the second half, buzzing. We didn't concede, that's fantastic, we only lost 3-0. And that's the type of attitude that we want our opposition to be having. They come away from Anfield going, well, that could have been so much worse, and you know, and it could have been if we'd stepped out of first gear, but we didn't need to.
And then Joe Gomez comes on again, and you know, he's got a shout for best player on the pitch as well, hasn't he? I mean, it's just mad. I said that on my match reaction. When a young lad's playing at centre half, I always think move the experienced one over to that left hand side if they're both out of position. Yeah, Klopp shows the trust to move Gomez over there, and Matip's the one playing on the right hand side. And I thought Matip had an okay game, you know, he gets a goal, he had a good game apart from a couple of sloppy passes. But Joe Gomez comes on and he looks like Virgil van Dijk. That's how good he's playing at the moment. Early on this season, I'm like, Virgil van Dijk's the one who's talking to Joe Gomez through games. Well, he's come on there, and I know we're 3-0 up and it's slightly different and all that, but he didn't have Virgil to talk him through the game. He was the guy leading that back four.
Yeah, I keep joking with my friends that I keep saying, it's great because we've got a world-class centre-back there and Virgil van Dijk, and they keep laughing at me, but I'm only half joking because he's just so good. And I think, honestly, you know, the best thing for him has been bringing van Dijk in and, you know, working alongside him in training and in games and learning about that experience and having somebody so good beside him. And I was a little bit worried today, you know, when he came on, will he be as good without the guy? And, you know, I'm sure van Dijk is in his ear all the time, just helping him through the game, but he was that player today. He came on and it was almost like he was helping Matip through the game. You know, the much more experienced and experienced, yeah, we'll leave it there. The more experienced centre-back out of the two. And he just looks a cut above. And, you know, I hope that he goes on to stay here and be, you know, one of the best centre-backs that we've got. That partnership there is potentially going to go on and be for the next 5-6 years. I'm sure he'll go on and have a great England career as well, and I really hope that he does there, you know, as long as he doesn't get injured. And I've got such good feelings about our back five at the moment, not just the centre-backs.
We've picked up our two centre-backs for £78.5 million. £78.5 million for our first two centre-backs. We spent £8 million on Andy Robertson and we got 10 for free. You know what I mean? That's mental. Like, you're looking about £85 million quid for our back four. Throw Alisson on, you're still under 150. Man City paid about 250 for there or something, didn't they? You know, it's pretty impressive, really.
£200 million for just the fullbacks, and then they've got a goalkeeper behind. You know, and look, don't get me wrong, Manchester City got a great defence, but it just proves that you don't have to spunk out the money every time. If you do your scouting properly and you've got a good manager who's willing to train them properly. Guardiola's a great coach, but Klopp clearly sees something. Exactly. Klopp's clearly seen something in players like Andy Robertson. He's gone, yo, there's something I can get out of him. There's a gem there that I can polish off, and it's only cost me £8 million. Not enough credit goes to Jurgen for that sort of thing.
It's absolutely brilliant. So there you go, that's been our instant match reaction for the game at Anfield. Liverpool back to the top of the table for how long? Let's hope until May. Thanks very much for watching. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to Red Men TV on YouTube, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.